Now that should sound ominous, because what he had in mind for Israel was a beautiful place of honor as his chosen people. But what's going to happen now? Well, you know, in Jeremiah's day, what's about to happen is destruction is coming. And he's saying the potter can change what he's doing depending on how the clay responds to his work. And if we were to go back to Deuteronomy 28, you could read that, but it's a long passage that talks about if you do not obey. If you remember what we already read last, we already went there and said, if you obey, here's what I have in mind for you. You're going to be blessed and you're going to be prosperous and your crops and your, if you do not obey, if you'd like to skim over there and just finger down through the passage, it is you will be cursed in the field and cursed in the city and cursed in the town. You will be run over by your enemies. You're going to be, you know, the rain will stop. The land will dry up. It's every possible thing that could go wrong will go wrong. And so God is painting for them two pictures here. He's wanting them to consider, look, we've made an arrangement. We've made a covenant. This is a great thing. You're my people. I'm your God. If you'll obey me, here's what I have in mind for you. But he wants them to know, if you don't, here's a picture of what that looks like. And it's every terrible thing you can imagine as far as a nation goes. And so now, in Jeremiah's day, he's saying, God's been trying to work with you like this potter, but the clay is not doing what it's supposed to do. So now he's about to do something different. He's going to bring about a different outcome for you than what might have been. And it's going to be one of destruction. Let's see how the people respond to this in Jeremiah 18 again, if you can turn back there. Verse 5 beginning. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck it up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intend to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom, I will plant and build it. And if it does evil in my sight and not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do to it. What's Jeremiah saying? He's saying, look, people, understand this. The potter, he's working with the clay, but he still has control over how it's going to turn out. And God's that way, and he's working with you, and he's shaping you and molding you, but there's still more than one possible outcome. So just because he had promised blessings and good things, don't think that that's locked in stone and will never be changed. If you don't obey, he can turn and make that in a different outcome. On the other hand, if he declares destruction and judgment, and those people, like remember in Jonah's day, the people of Nineveh, they humbled themselves and they prayed, and God changes the story. And he said, okay, instead of destroying them, I'm going to be merciful. So God, as the potter who's in charge of how things turn out, can change the outcome depending on how the people respond to him, in for better or for worse. And that's the message for them. And the message for us is, be careful how we respond to God's molding. We'll come back to that in a moment as we consider an application of it. But notice the final product of this as we consider the next, as we could finish this chapter or continue a little bit, and then we'll skip to chapter 19. Verse 11. Now therefore, say to the men of Judah and its inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return every one from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds. That's the message. What do they say? Verse 12. That is vain. We will follow our own plans. We will everyone act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. I don't know if they actually said those words to Jeremiah, but that's what they're thinking. That's what they're going to do. That's their response. God has been sending them messengers. He's been sending them prophets saying, change! I'm shaping a plan that's going to be destructive to you. You better straighten up. And they're like, no. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to do whatever we feel like doing. Well, you can imagine how that's going to turn out. Look at chapter 19, verse 1. Another occasion, similar imagery. Thus says the Lord, go buy a potter's earthenware flask and take some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests and go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom at the entry of the potsherd gate. Proclaim there the words that I will tell you. You shall say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such disaster upon this place that the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this potsherd gate, this valley of the son of Hinnom, was a big garbage dump. It's like when you go, if you ever go to the dump, I don't know if you ever go to the, what we call the dump, it's really just transfer station, but you take stuff and they push it, and it reeks, and it's nasty, and it's just like, you know, it's garbage. Every society has to have a place to put garbage. And so they would light this on fire, and they would burn it, but it was just a refuge. And I'm pretty sure that's the scene here that he's taking them to, and he's brought with him. He went to the potter's house, and he bought a flask, and now he's brought with him this thing, and he says, hey, guys, come here. I got to show you something. So he brings the elders with him. They go over to this gate, and there's this, you know, valley of the son of Hinnom. It's just the root for the word Gehenna, which is where we get a word for hell, because it would burn in fire. But he had this earthenware flask, and he's standing there with them, and God is about to say, he says to them, I'm going to bring disaster upon this place. Skip down to verse 10. Then God tells him, you shall break the flask in the sight of the men who go with you, and shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, so I will break this people in this city as one breaks a potter's vessel, so that it can never be mended. Men shall bury in Topheth, because there was no place else to bury. So there was a time in their history, and I think this is the progression. There was a time when they were a malleable, moldable object of clay. And God was working with them like the potter's working with the, and he's trying to get them to turn into this beautiful thing that he has in mind for them. And he was working, and they would do wrong, and he would send prophets, but they weren't doing right. And he says, watch what happens. When that clay doesn't work out, that potter's going to turn it into something else. Now God's shaping a different outcome, and he's warning them, hey, listen up, trouble's coming. People say, I don't care. So he says, all right, now, next image. Take a flask. Now this is no longer a malleable piece of clay. This is something that's been fired in the kiln and is hard and finished. And you take that, and you go over and you say, people come over here, and you basically, if I understand the image right, he goes to the dump, but he says, watch. And now it just shatters. Now at that point, would it be possible to gather all those things up and shape them into something beautiful? No, you might debate about whether you could sort of super glue them back together, but it's basically in their world, it's destroyed now. And the potsherds, a shard of pottery would be sometimes like a piece of, they could use it. Remember Job used it to scrape his sores? And sometimes they would even take those, because they recycled everything, they would write on them little notes and stuff. But once it was broken up into a bunch of pieces, it was kind of useless for most intents and purposes. Certainly it couldn't be used as a beautiful thing anymore. It was now shattered. And God says, it's too late. You've become hardened. You would not respond, you would not listen, so you're going to be destroyed. And the same thing is the warning in Paul's day, in Romans 9, when he warned about the potter has a right to make vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor, and the vessels of dishonor were reserved for wrath and destruction. And the same, that's the message for the Jews of his day who rejected the Messiah. Destruction was on the way if they did not repent. And so you and I have a choice in this. And that's the thing we want to recognize. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2. If you just read the Romans 9 passage, and this becomes kind of a little bit challenging. You know, he says, doesn't the potter have the right to make whatever he wants out of the clay? Well, if you just read that, you might think, well, do people really have any say in this thing? Do I have a say in what God's going to make me into? Or is it just, he just decided, I'm going to make you this way, I'm going to make her this way, I'm going to make him this way, and it's, you know, it's like, well, what can we do about it? But we see from Jeremiah's passage, and we see from 2 Timothy 2, that we, the clay, do have a choice in how we respond to the potter's intentions. So notice in 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 beginning, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, also wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. That's what we've talked about already. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So in Romans 9, it's the emphasis is on God's part, what God is doing. But here in 2 Timothy, the emphasis is on our part, what we have to do. And they both work together. Your part and God's part, it all comes together. But here it's saying that if you want to be a vessel of honorable use, a beautiful thing, you have something you got to do. Cleanse yourself from impurities, from bad things. And everybody's got, you know, when you've got company coming over, there's the bowls and the plates, or there's the towels, there's the things you get out that are not stained, that are not chipped, that are, your stuff that you use in an honorable way. And then you've got your other stuff that maybe you just use for mixing, or maybe you use to put under the car when you're changing oil. And you would never, you know, there might be a bowl or a pan you've got, you know, tools soaking in some kind of cleaner and all that kind of, you would never use that to put mashed potatoes on the table with. It's just, you know, it's been used for some other purpose. So everybody, just like in this great house, there's all kinds of things. You and I want to be the vessel that's fit for the master's use. He has a plan for you and me. Just like the potter had a plan for this pottery. It's a beautiful plan. The plan for you and me is to be conformed into the image of the Son of God. That's His plan for you. That's His plan for me. He wants to shape you and mold you so that you reflect His glory like His own Son did. That's God's plan. If you will allow Him to do that, if you work with Him, then He will use you in an honorable way. But what if we become corrupted in His hands? What if we have sin in our lives that we do not address and repent of? What if we have things that we're not allowing Him to shape us and mold us? We don't cleanse ourselves from things that are sinful. Then how is He going to use us in an honorable way if I'm not cooperating and I'm not doing my part, I'm not being obedient? Then I'm not going to be suitable for every task. I'm not going to be useful to the master's work. And what a sad thing, just like we talked about what might have been. When you consider Israel and you look at, if you kind of like imagine down one path, what might have been if they had responded to God, if they had been humble, if they had repented, what He could have done with them, how their story could have been different. And the same thing is true, I think, for Christians, if we're not careful, if we will work with the plan and let God mold us and shape us and become like His Son, there's a beautiful path there for how He can use us in an honorable way. But what if we don't? For our last passage, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. And notice the warning here in Hebrews 3. He quotes from an Old Testament passage in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Then skip down to verse 12, and He says, take care, therefore, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Notice the warning there. He says, encourage each other every day. Exhort one another, verse 13, every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So think of that picture again to the pottery. He's got in the one scene, the potter's sitting there at the wheel, and he's shaping and molding, and the clay is soft and wet and malleable and can its outcome is not yet set. It still has the possibility of becoming this, and it has the possibility of becoming something else, and it's just up to the potter, and I think up to the clay, as we've seen, how the story's going to go. But in the next scene, when he walked out there with the elders and he took this thing and he walked over to the dump, and he threw it down and it shattered. By that point, it was hard and finished. It had become what it was going to be, and he shattered it on the ground and it was over. The danger is that there's a time in our lives when we are soft and shapeable, when our hearts respond to the Word of God, when we are listening, when our conscience is pricked, when we know what we're supposed to do, and the Lord is talking to us, and it's like the clay, and He's saying, listen, you need to change. You need to do more of that. You need to do less of this. You need to become, you know, you need to grow and be conformed. But if we are not careful, and this is why he says, keep warning everybody, warn everybody every day, as long as it's called today, lest you be hardened, that's the dangerous thing, by the deceitfulness of sin. So sin creeps in, and there's a point in your life when you're hearing the message and you're feeling the call to repent, but if you don't respond to that, then you become hardened. And in terms of turning this pottery into something beautiful, once it's got these hardened sections where that sin is starting to, then it becomes hardened, and then the outcome gets set, and that's a dangerous, scary thing. We don't want that to happen. That's why he says, look, warn everybody every day. That's why we have these regular meetings where we come together Sundays and Wednesdays, and what do we say? The same thing over and over, right? Don't we hear basically the same thing every time we come? But that's what he says. Every day, exhort one another every day. So am I going to say something brand new next week? Probably not. When somebody stands up and teaches, when one of you does the invitation, when we pray, when you stay together, it's not going to be some new thing. Guess what? This week we're doing something totally different. No, it's the same thing. But we need to hear it over and over and over and over, because there's a danger that sin will creep in, and then we start getting hardened. And once we get hardened, and then the potter's not able to shape us and mold us because we're resisting his efforts, we're in danger of being turned into something that's fit for destruction. And that's the warning of the whole potter and clay thing. God wants everyone to be saved. We see in Ezekiel 18:23, have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live? It's God's intention and desire that everyone reach repentance and be saved, but we have to choose how we're going to respond to his word. Perhaps there's someone here, even tonight, who needs to make something right in your life, and you know you need to. I would say don't wait, because the longer you wait, the more you get hardened. And the day will come when that message doesn't get through anymore. We see that happen to Israel, and unfortunately it could happen to us if we're not careful. And if we can help you, let us know as we stand and sing.